Session 32 of Steam, Steal, and Murder up tonight. We've got a full cast of 6 players with 1 new voice. Skype handles the load poorly, so expect a lesser audio quality out of this one. John number 2 is playing Austin the Aussie. Jameis is back as Gavin Marshall. Nick is playing Marlowe. Jesse is Chef. Marcus is Bishop. And John Prime is Aldrich Hundegaard. No new emails or communications from you listeners, so we'll jump right into the story. Session 32, Part 1.
Okay, let's get to Daniel Bishop. I'm going to need a link to the roller as usual.
Yeah, I'm putting it up now.
About to cut your hair again.
Mm-hmm. There's the dice roller we'll use. Set the password to SSM.
I call glass.
Yeah, GM calls red dice hard? Always. The color of death and blood. That's the GM's color. It's, yeah,
hey, that. I've called glass. I've had glass since the beginning, so it's always mine.
I'll have pink.
Because I'm a see-through character.
I'll have violet unless anyone wants it.
Oh, there's a waste of a good roll.
All right, then. Ah, there we go. Now I see the rolls.
You see me rolling the dice.
Oh, not a bad start tonight.
Mm-hmm. I've already had John Hopper on my list of contacts. Eh, whatever.
Now we have 2 Johns. I'm afraid you're going to have to use my... you're going to have to use my Skype name, I'm afraid.
No, I'm just going to call you Jonathan.
No, you're not. No one. Ever. Never.
Okay, Jonathan.
Let's go by your characters' names. It'll be less confusing.
Who the hell are you? I don't even... I have problems with that because I always forget Marlowe.
All right.
For some reason, I remember Gavin, but for some reason, it's like, the detective. What the hell is his name? Oh, yeah, Marlowe. Mm-hmm.
So is everyone actually on? Oh. I haven't heard from Jesse. Are you there, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And John Hopper. John, you there?
Woo-hoo. Right here.
Okay, cool. And Nick, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right, so we have a larger group than normal tonight, and there's a couple of things I want to go over. One is, guys, please check out the Obsidian Portal site and on the forums occasionally, because I had no idea who was actually wanting to play and who was not wanting to play, because no one confirmed for the game.
I did.
Yeah, 5 minutes ago.
No, it was last night.
Yeah, that doesn't count. And Jameis was the only one that responded to my plea of there was something I needed to do tonight, but with only one person getting the message, yeah, I did not do that.
What?
I sent some comments on the Obsidian Portal that I wanted to try and push either the game day to a Friday or a Sunday this week, or to change the time for like an hour later or et cetera. But only Jameis responded to that.
Where did you do this?
It was on the comments. I've already deleted it because no one bothered to look at it until today. So please, guys, keep up with the site. Answer the emails if I send out mass emails.
Sorry, but...
We apologize.
If you want to push it back an hour, I'm fine with that.
Oh, no, I already canceled it, so, you know, we're doing the game as normal. No, the thing I wanted to attend was church-related, and I found out that they're going to put it out on the internet anyway, so I can catch on it later instead of catching it live, so I'm all right with that.
Enter church.
Yep. Yes, who is your digital god now? Yes.
He must be pixelated. Mm-hmm. No, he's just a giant pixel that, you know, rams himself into you.
Okay, so I'm going to try to attempt doing a game tonight with as many people as we have on here. And I would ask if you are not speaking or not directly involved in a scene, please mute your microphone. It will help with bandwidth on Skype.
Okay.
Does everybody know where the mute button is on Skype?
Depends on their version, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Yeah. The conference call list now has a pause button on that mainframe, which makes it a little easier.
Just
not on mine.
Not on yours. Yeah.
I have to press the down arrow and put call on hold.
Ah.
Just remember, no one can hear you. You're muted.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right. So the other thing that I wanted to try, if you guys have been reading the forums at all, I had a post going on about alertness rolls, their use, etc. And something that I think, Jameis, you proposed, and Marcus, you were kind of saying in your post as well, but having an alertness roll, just have everybody roll one at the beginning of each scene, and that'll also allow you to decide that scene exactly how much you want to invest into how aware you are. I would like to try that and see how it goes. That doesn't discount you being able to later in the scene call for an investigation roll where you're particularly, you know, being actively aware of things around you. Alertness is passive awareness, just something that you notice without really looking for it. So I'd like to...
And a sense of danger. Something's off.
Yeah, right, right. Danger sense, if whenever you make a passive alertness roll, if there is actually a chance that your character might get in combat or, you know, if you have danger sense, I would just bump up what your roll is by 2.
I'll probably just do a slash,
mm-hmm.
with the second one being the +2 version.
Mm-hmm. And this will still allow you guys to spend fate points if you want to, if you think the scene is going to be particularly, you know, tense and you want to invest a little bit more in that. You'll be able to per scene instead of just having a list of roles for me to choose from.
All right. I'm waiting until I shoot Constantine and add all my chips on that.
Yes. I plan on going that route also, considering I'm going to save the specialization and then hit every freaking thing I can.
Okay. The other thing that we've been kind of lagging on is the group's creations. You know, I know I realize people are busy right now. That's fine. But still be aware that it's there on the forum site. If you guys want to start playing around with building your different groups, go ahead and just post there and we will see how it works out. I've got a running total of how much fate points you guys have been throwing in the end of each mission to make the group, you know, larger or more powerful. So I do have a running total of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess I'll post it on the site so you guys will know how much has been spent into each. Okay, let's see. Anything? I'm going to start the game off basically. We ended the last game at street level, right below Constantine's now exploded penthouse apartment. And you guys had just twigged out that you can triangulate where the explode now signal is coming from. And that's where I'm going to restart. But is there anything?
I thought we were at the docks at that point.
Well, some of us were at the docks.
Yeah, some of you were at the docks, yes.
I think the three of us were at the docks because I went to them after messaging about what I saw, and then I was heading over there.
Do we perhaps think we should pick up some more people? Hint, hint.
Oh yeah, we'll go by the hospital, go by a sandwich shop.
I'll
make sure to go. Sandwiches, man.
I go by the nearby sandwich shop from the hotel, pick up the chef. I go by the hospital on my way to the docks to pick up the guy who was with the family who was trapped in the freezer.
Much obliged.
And then I go by the police station and pick up random guy number 5, number 6, or number 7, or whatever the number is.
Number 10. There we go.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then we'll start it off with that, then, unless anyone has something else they wanted to do before game starts or anything. So I remember, right, Jameis, you were at street level. You just figured out that you could triangulate the signal. I believe Marlo is with you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were at the docks. We had just defused the bomb in the
toilet.
Yeah. And Jameis, you're coming in really faint, man.
Possibly.
He seems fine on my end.
Yeah, he sounds pretty good on mine too, actually. No worse than he normally is.
Oh, he sounds a little worse to me. That's weird. Okay. And super smart guy had just figured out we could try and calculate big words, things.
Let's see here. John, your character was not present last session. What were you doing during that time off?
Okay, so I'm still going to be John. Fine.
Damn.
Probably the... He knows me as Gilt, so he may as well start calling me Gilt instead.
Okay, but, very good.
Gilt, John, Marcus, Jess, Logos, James, Bert. I'm going to forget that.
I'd gone to the hospital with the family we found in the freezer. Mm-hmm. Make sure they got there right and try to smooth away. And also get any more information about the people who locked them in there.
Yes. So you're, I guess, interviewing the family at the hospital?
Well, the ones... I'm going to at least give it more until they're no longer on death's doorstep.
Mm-hmm. Actually, once they get into the hospital, they're able to stabilize them pretty quickly. Get their core temperature back up so that they're not in any danger of dying from hypothermia. Yeah, sure. They're able to tell you what they can about the experience. What do you ask? They're all sitting there with little bowls of hot instant soup, warming up. They've got thick blankets over them. The hospital people have intravenous lines running to them, getting them rehydrated as well, checking their blood pressure, making sure that there's no lingering effects. But with your guild investigation badge, they allow you to stay and question. So, the father and the mother are there.
Basically just be asking them about what details they might get from their assailants, when they're the appearance, how organized were they, did they use any weaponry?
The father speaks up, and they're very organized. There's three of the guys came in all at once. They had some strange looking weapons. They looked like rifles, but they had large pods around the barrel. They're very very intimidating. They all wore masks. I seem to recall they had. Aviator, what would you call them? The glasses that the pilots wear.
Goggles.
Yeah, goggles. They had goggles at the top of the like a leather cap. I couldn't see much of their face. They were covered up by a black piece of cloth. I could see their eyes though, beady black eyes. They herded us into the back freezers. We didn't. There was just no possibility of resistance. I tried to say something to one of them, and he hit me on the side of the head with that rifle butt, and it just happened so fast. And the wife speaks up and says, "I remember there being a very strong smell of fuel on their clothing."
I see. Did they say anything to you, or say anything at all between themselves?
They didn't say a word to us. They just forced us into the back freezers. Once we were in there, we couldn't hear anything. The walls were too thick. We yelled for help and kicked at the doors for hours.
This one might be the most hardest question, but I'm going to pull out some of my notes and show them some images of things like the logo used for the Hate Hold Ace Gang.
Right. Give me an empathy roll.
Yay! That's something I should do very well. I hope. Yes, that's a 6.
Yep, there it goes. It's coming through now. Okay, very good. Yeah, you seem to win the trust of the parents pretty quickly, and you're going over some sketches with them, and they all recognize the Hold Ace. They say that one of them on their leather jacket had that emblem stenciled in black on the left shoulder. Just one of them. And it was the one of the guys that stood more towards the back and didn't was not one of the ones that herded them into the freezer.
And on a random off chance, I'll also show them a I'll show them a sketch of the swashbuckler used by 3R, just on the off chance, which I doubt.
They both respond that they've seen it in the papers. But not in any way with their captors.
Thank you for your time. I wish you a swift recovery.
Sounds good. Marcus, we will head over to Bishop. Bishop, you just phoned in from the docks. The explosives that you had found that had been shaped like red bricks that were built into a recent attachment for a John, a Lou, as well as sides of a shipping crate where the sides have been replaced with this explosive made to look like the side of a crate.
Wait, what?
Remember the molds for the explosives were in the side of a crate. Yep. So you just found evidence of this at the docks. You just made a call in to him. Oh, and I got your note that you sent just today to me.
Oh, I talked about it with you beforehand. It's just that was the fact that I was like, I thought I sent it, and I was like, I'm not sure.
Yeah. You would not have time to do a lot of that yet, although...
No. I don't expect that. I figured that'd be like within the next couple of days if we pass time a little bit.
Fair enough.
But if I remember right, I was still at the hotel and talking about what I saw with the sniper. They were the ones who found the... Marlo was the one who found the stuff, the side and brick stuff. And then I'm going to, I believe at this point... Now that I've called, I was heading to them, but I realized I lost track of the chef at a sandwich shop nearby, so I'll go pick him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, chef disappeared during your earlier investigations. And the other thing that happened is that you rescued a woman from Constantine's flat that exploded.
And I got a nice pic. And there was a nice picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a nice picture from it. So... Sure, you round up Chef. Chef, where did you disappear to?
just a local restaurant, I suppose. Checking out the area, getting something to eat. Leave the dirty work to the rest of the guys, you know.
Sure.
I get sure to get the butcher and say we're going by the hospital to go check in on our friends from the freezer and to see how the good Hundegaard is doing.
All right, I stick my half-eaten sandwich under my hat and say, all right, let's go.
Thank you for not eating the car. And I go off.
All right, then you rendezvous at the hospital just about the time when Mr. Hundegaard there finishes his interview. And coming in the lobby about the same time with you is your police attaché, Miss Blair, and she's tagging along with her. Let's see. John, what was your character's name again?
Austin.
Austin. Okay, and what does Austin look like?
Oh, he's about 5'11", Caucasian male, brown hair. He has a top hat with classic steampunk goggles on him. He just has this big coat. And ragged up boots and plain pants.
All right, so Miss Blair is accompanying this man as you're walking to the hospital together. She stops you. Bishop, she puts her hand up. Hey, hold on a minute.
Yes, Blair?
Hey, we picked up this guy over at the ruins of power. He was standing around looking a little confused, and he had this card on him. She hands you a card. Says he was here invited by Tesla to do some experimentations, and he's been, well, she looks over, Miss Blair looks over to you and says, he's been on a really long ship ride. Where'd you say you came from again?
Australia.
So he hadn't heard the news about Tesla's death and power coming down. And so she hands over this some paperwork to you, Bishop.
I look over the paperwork.
And give me a scholarship roll to see if you recognize the penmanship.
Two.
All right, two. Okay, you don't recognize a particular hand, but it is signed by Tesla, and it's an invitation to this man, Austin. What's your last name, Austin?
Morpheus.
Okay, and it's an invitation to come to Metapole to join in studies on non-lethal crowd control methods. And he actually has the paperwork there for as an investigator as well.
Do you have your badge?
Mm-mm. He shakes his head.
I look to Blair. Can we get him a badge? An ID?
She says,
you don't need a badge. I don't use one.
Can you confirm the paperwork?
Yeah, it looks like it looks legit.
All right, we'll put in for one. Would you take control of this man until we get everything straightened out?
Yep, I'll take him. Okay, I hold out my hand. The name's Bishop. Daniel Bishop.
Right, my name's Austin.
Nice to meet you. This is Chef D, owner of Famous D's. If you've read any of the papers on your trip over, you might recognize one or two of us. We're here to pick up another friend of ours and then continue to some of our other friends who are busy.
Oh, boy. Lucky to meet Joey, too. Say hello, Joey.
I look at what Joey is.
Joey's a small baby kangaroo. Well, it comes up to knee height.
I give it a weird look and go and just nod my head, nod and smile. And just,
I lick my lips.
And walk away and just go get the good Hundegard.
Well,
you're breaking up.
You're now not coming through at all, John.
How about now?
Yeah, better, yes.
Right, we're going somewhere.
Yes, yes. First, we need to pick up Von Hundegard, the good one.
Sounds like a pretty name.
Yes, I'll introduce him. I ask the nurse where Von Hundegard is, the other agent.
Sure, she directs you to the fourth floor, which is their burn ward, oddly enough.
Yeah, I go there.
And Hundegard, you're just finishing up with your notes, and there you're coming down the stairs yourself when you see Bishop and Chef and some unknown person walking down the hall towards you. Miss Blair, once she's remanded the Aussie into your custody, has left, and she says she'll put in the paperwork with the guilds to try and get him a badge cleared.
I checked the paperwork. Is there actually, I say, wait 1 second, Blair. I checked the paperwork. Is there anything for the kangaroo?
No, there's no paperwork on the kangaroo.
Blair, we're going to need to, no offense,
I'm going to have to confiscate that.
We are going to have to confiscate the kangaroo as we need the paperwork on animals.
Yeah, keep them at D's. I got a nice place we can keep them.
I kind of am standing a little bit behind D so that he can't see me, and I just like am shaking my head. No, don't do that.
Miss Blair says, "Well, he cleared shipping customs. The animal's apparently up on its shots."
Okay, just checking to make sure. So I didn't have any of that paperwork with me.
Oh, it was all cleared at customs.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're fine. By the way, Von Hundegaard, Austin, he's another new friend, old, apparently friend of Tesla's, who was brought in from, I'm guessing, a little far away, as I don't recognize the accent.
Let's see. Nice to meet you. Pleasure to meet you too. Aldrich von Hundegaard.
My name's Austin.
Mr. Austin.
Out of hand.
Aldrich will shake it.
At this time, Australia in the world of Metapol is still a penal colony, by the way.
Yep. Mm. Oh, damn, I'd actually know about Australia, wouldn't I? Oh, God, what was they actually called Australia back then? Didn't they have another name?
Yeah. That I don't know.
It's just Australia.
Oh, well, for now, Australia.
Yeah. Well, you can continue the introductions in the car. We must be going. Time is of the essence.
Right.
We are after the infamous man. And I think I'm going to need to get a bigger car soon.
Yes, you all pack
have
in.
Have you at least managed to get your own car back rather than the...
Nope, you're still driving the. It's still got corpses in the back. Oh, by the way, you have yet to stop by.
Get the bodies out the back.
And by the way, I need to go by the police station first before we get to do to the dogs.
Don't mind the corpses. Just push them aside. Find a place to sit.
Hey, make sure you're wearing gloves when you touch those.
Right. How did the business go over at the apartment?
It was explosive.
Again.
Yes. Not very well. Marlowe can give you a better description in his own way.
I'm liking those already.
The corpses in the back of the paddy wagon are a little ripe. You figure they've been back there for many, many hours.
You tried doing lots of crud in a short amount of time. Now we're going to go get into Mike. Actually, no. Knowing that we're going after Constantine, I requisition a large vehicle owned by the police that can hold a lot of people.
They give you another paddy wagon, and they will put the corpses on ice until they can be examined. And they give you the look as in, why didn't you bring this to us when they were a bit fresher?
I kind of like just gesture like, I just look at him and say, Constantine.
Right. Sign here.
I sign.
All right. So there, they throw you the keys for another paddy wagon. Sans bodies.
Now I have more space.
Yes.
Make sure to get any equipment that was ours from the other paddy wagon, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. And these cars, by the way, have thick steel outsides, and the back is they've got two benches. Slots where handcuffs can be threaded through, and it's also got like a cage around it to separate like the back from the driver's area. The driver's area has like a little sliding steel door so you can peek back there to see what's going on, but it's made to hold prisoners in the back. Mm-hmm. So the door can only be opened from the outside. So if you're back there, you can't open the door.
Just to get back here. Who's shotgun? I put Hundegaard shotgun.
You can fit four people up front and not have to have them in the back area, so it can hold four guards.
No. No, they go in the back. Mm-hmm. The other two spots are reserved for the people we're picking up, even though one of them rides a bicycle.
There's some standard gear in the back as well. There's several sets of handcuffs, leg cuffs, some nets, some spare of the electric rifles.
Ooh.
And all of that may hold Constantine for all of 5 minutes.
Wait. You're giving him that little respect? 5 minutes? I'm thinking less.
You got the scene where you close the door on him, and as soon as you close the door, he's opened another door somewhere and just walked right out.
Exactly.
All right, so you guys hurry to the scene of the explosion. When you get there, the fire trucks have already showed up.
The scene of the explosion, we were going to the docks.
Oh, you're going to the docks. Okay. All right.
Yeah, well, we're going to meet up with the rest of the party.
Well, some of you, well, at least Gavin Marshall was still on the site because he was figuring out.
No.
He was at the docks.
That's how he figured out that he has his. He has his mobile engine on his bicycle.
Oh, yes. You figured this out from the docks. Okay, so Marlon and Marshall, I'm going to cut to you guys. You have just figured out that you're able to triangulate this mutating signal. You figured out the algorithm to keep track of it, and you've just figured out that, you know, with some fairly basic equipment, you can figure out where the main signal is coming from. So we'll pick up with you guys there.
Okay, well, we figure out where the signal's coming from.
Mm-hmm. You figure at minimum, you're going to need you're going to need three portable units, like what would you call like ham radio station or radio units. You're going to need at least three of them. If you could get more, it would go faster.
Good thing we're on the docks where they need to communicate with ships and so on and so forth. We will be requisitioning those from the nearest places.
Sure, Mr. Weiss, boys are glad to help you out. Unfortunately, they say they've only got one portable unit because since this is a dock, you know, they've got a command hunt where they've got several radio banks, but they're not of the portable variety. One of Mr. Weiss' boys happened to have one portable unit. It's a backpack unit that the boys wore during the war. He hands that over to you, but they've only got the one portable.
And then we'll triangulate with the obviously portable Zeppelin one.
One of White's boys comes running up on the docks. He's coming out of like the main office building and says, "I got a phone call for one to use."
Well, you're technical. I'll deal with this. All right, there.
All right.
Go take the phone call.
All right.
Hello. This is Raymond Marshall.
This is Bishop on my way to the docks. Telling you we have a new friend. He's in the back of the paddy wagon with the chef. Paperwork seems legit. Just telling you a little bit ahead of time that we're going to be with someone else. Seems to be a friend of Tesla's.
Oh, good. I love trusting people that we have absolutely no reason to trust.
I make sure that the thing is closed between me. That's why they're in the back of the paddy wagon.
Oh, that's thinking ahead there.
Okay, Lord, look what you're driving.
I've practiced this. I come up my hand on the phone. I've practiced doing this.
I've got the wheel.
A passing police car wonders about enacting a law about using a phone while driving.
I drive with my knees.
So I'll let you guys get back to whatever you're doing. And if you arrive alive, we'll
do something. I haven't crashed yet. And I'll say, okay, well, you should be there in a little bit. If you change locations, please tell me ahead of time. You have my number.
Yes, I'll make sure to.
Doesn't your number change also, every time you use it?
No, it's only when I choose to change it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which isn't often enough, sadly.
I just thought thought your phone did change every time.
No. It's
okay. That's fine. Let's move on.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Gavin. What is Gavin up to? So you've been given one portable unit. The warehouse here has a bank of radio units that are non-portable.
Well, I thought to triangulate, all you needed was basically two points of reference.
Ah, yes, but you're thinking three is probably going to be necessary simply because the signal changes drastically. While you do have an algorithm, you're thinking that you're going to need... You could do it on two, but it would take much longer. It's up to you how you want to go about it.
Well, we've got the radios here. We've got my portable scanner. We've got the portable radio unit.
Yep, that gives you three.
And if need be, we can contact various other police stations and get them to tune in. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the people who are scanning for 3-hour signals anyway that we know about.
All right, and how do you want to rig it up? Basically, you have a portable Babbage machine, I remember.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, so you could hook it up to that. So you've got a visual of, like, you can get a layout of the streets of Metapol and get a, you know, your bleeping signal, or you can simply go with the radio clatter that gets louder as you get closer and more quiet as you're further away. You're world well enough to do whatever you want there.
You take directions off the various... you take the point, you say directions and where the lines cross, that's where mm-hmm. the signals come from. So I'll be getting a map and drawing lines on it.
All right, fair enough. Let's see, give me a scholarship roll just to kind of interpret what you're... You've already made your repair roll to be able to get the tech side of it done. This is just to see if you're able to interpret what you're seeing.
Nine or something.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect. Well, what you quickly find out as you're looking at the signals coming across and you've got these units all lined up here.
Considering, it's a six on streetwise. If I could throw in the plus two light in the back of my hand if we're looking at maps of Metapol.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
I do have a streetwise skill for mm-hmm. this sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I'm going to consider that additive, and you get two pieces of information pretty quickly as you're charting this out. One, signal's coming from underground. Uh-huh. Two, it's moving. Yep. And, you know, tracing the maps there, it's following well-known subway lines, or the pneumatic lines.
Yeah. I hate him. Is Marlo back yet?
Yeah, sure. Marlo comes walking back.
Yeah. Marlo, he's on the signal generator. I should say he's on a train somewhere. Possibly its own train. Who knows? Basically, blah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Hail. That's not good.
No, it's not. What we could do is contact transport and find out where the various trains are and see if it is your train or not, or just go there and see what we see.
Well, would you happen to know the train schedules? Oh, bureaucratic one?
You've got streetwise, you know them very well.
Yes, I do. I know
that. Might know which, where we could reasonably intercept this train.
If it's a train, if he's got his own transport moving on the rails, which I wouldn't put past him at the moment. But I know the tunnel layout anyway, so I can say this will be a good station that we could get to in time.
If you observed your signal for about an hour, you could determine whether or not it's a normal line or if it's something different. But you're going to need to take several readings over the course of an hour to figure that out.
Exactly. How much time we got?
Well, we have until Bishop gets here. Because I don't feel comfortable talking over airways.
And as you say that, there's a commotion at the gates of the warehouse. Big it's police patty.
I said keep turning it. Hunter guard, work those muscles.
If we run now, he'll never find us.
Yeah, it's time to go. I have my new life set up. I'm going down to Southern America.
Tierra del Fuego, here you come.
Yep.
Okay. Perhaps someone else should drive. That way you can dedicate yourself to communications or logistics.
I'm the best driver here.
Yes, but you're also the only communications specialist as well. Perhaps you could focus on one particular task at a time.
You act like I nearly killed someone. They were
fighting
away.
I just stare at him like the invasion of the body snatchers stare.
We were. It was many yards away.
It was a cutscene to a path of destruction that the car just came through. People laying on the side of the road, crippled.
Abington's Costello. We have work to do.
You'll need to open the door to the back to let Chef and our new friend Austin. I open the door and say, Austin, here's.
We're going places.
Okay, get in the front. I close the door again and say, okay, get in the front. And I say, where are we going, Marshall?
Yeah. Gavin, do you mind actually leading us to the nearest train station where we could reasonably intercept this thing?
Oh, for whatever it is, yes, there's one over. Well, as long as it doesn't change tracks anytime soon, the most likely station it's heading for is this one here.
Yes, well, if it changes tracks, then we'll know something else, but it's better than just sitting around.
It could legitimately change tracks, but the main trains that flow through this line go to the station. It could be going
right. Of course, but, you know, if it does so, then we have more information and we'll be in a better position to intercept it, rather than on the far southern end of Metapole, will be more centrally placed, hopefully. Or maybe not. I really don't
know. Go and see what happens.
I follow the man on the bicycle as long as he doesn't do any evil things like going down an alley that obviously this paddy wagon won't fit.
And I'll say blah to everyone and shout blah. Hello to the new guy through the bars.
Wish I'd shake your hand, but meh.
Yep. Not a lot of space up here. I'm a big guy. I motion to my 5'10", maybe 100.
I eye you when you say big guy. I just give you an evil stare.
Getting hungry back there. Getting the taste of man.
It's nothing but me and a kangaroo.
As you know, there's a small kangaroo about his person. Okay, well, Marshall is leading you off on his motorized bicycle to one of the near pneumatic train stations or subway stations. And Gavin, you pull up to the entrance of the – it's a series of steps that goes down to the subway level. And this was the closest one if you were following that blip. And if it were on a normal train schedule, this is where the stop would be.
Yep.
Sorry, I had this.
I get the feeling we should be making an alertness roll right before we hit on.
Yes. Yeah, this is where I'm going to call for everybody to make me an alertness roll.
Let me clear the dice first.
For the scene.
Bert, you said down the stairs. I just imagined that you went down the stairs and my car followed.
Well, it is a wide set of stairs. The paddy wagon might be able to fit.
Oh, no. Well, my bike could fit there because it's got an ability.
Come on. These dice are hating me today.
All right, let's see.
Yeah, nimble. My bike is the nimble attribute, so. This is good. That's not good.
All right. Calm him down. Marcus, what did you end up getting, or what are you going to settle on?
No, I don't like that roll, so I'm going to re-roll. Give me a minute. Skip me.
Okay. Jesse. What did Chef end up with?
I got one plus, I think my alertness is one, so total of two.
Okay. And Nick, what is
Five.
All right.
Got a 3 or anything.
Sure.
That's more like it.
Austin got a 3. And Jamis, you got a 2.
Yep. I'm more concentrating on the radio signal.
Okay, who got the 5?
That'd be me.
Baron with me.
Alright.
Okay, I have my specialization since I'm doing it for the scene. I might as well do it.
Okay, sounds good.
5, 7, and another +2 for danger sense on either of those.
Alright. Alright, so how do you approach it? Gavin has just dismounted his bike right at the entrance to the subway systems.
I stop and let the people in the back out. Make sure that they're not too beat up from sharp turns.
We each give him the death glare as we walk by. Each of us with our own special variant. The final one is the kangaroo.
I'm just because I've watched the play that recently. I'm suspecting a backpack like the Ghostbusters backpack at the moment.
I have to say this. The kangaroo must be hopping mad.
Okay, so you guys file out downstairs. It's pretty busy. This is normal operating hours for the pneumatic train system. So there's a lot of people standing at the turnstiles, paying their tokens to get into the boarding area. The train is just now pulling up. Gavin, your blip has stopped.
Okay. So this train? Well, as far as I can tell, it's probably this train.
Bert, is there a way to get to the front of the train, like where from the inside of it, can you get to the front?
Sure. I mean, it's usually got a closed door, so to keep passengers away from. But there's a door, yes.
Okay. Devin, can you tell which side of the train it's on, or is it not that accurate?
Not that I'm accurate. Trying. Yeah.
I'm trying to, but
You can tell it's quickly on the train.
Well, let's get on this train quickly.
We'll do. Are the trains like robotic, or is there a person who pulls levers and?
Yes, there is an engineer in there because the guy has to basically engage the pneumatic system so the train gets sucked along the path. So, but there is a human engineer.
Okay. Let's get. Is there a way to transfer from car to car?
Yes, easily.
Okay, yeah, and how many cars are we looking at? 10 minutes till another
train comes along behind it.
Yes, I suggest we each get on. We all get on board. Why don't we each take a separate car? Someone go up to the engineer to make sure that isn't one of Constantine's little pranks.
Because there might be a dangerous sociopath.
There are 4 separate cars. There are 4 separate cars. There are a mass of people here waiting to get on. That's 4 cars, not including the main engine area, so 5 including that. And anybody with Streetwise for Metapol knows that these work on a half-hour schedule, so the next train will be through in half an hour.
I sort of push my way to the front to get to the front car.
All right, you got to go through a little turnstile while you have to drop a coin in to get through.
Do they have cards? Because I know this was originally one of my normal.
Cards. Yes, they have cards.
This was my original means of transportation.
Yeah, so you would still have your pass.
Which the card?
Yeah.
I'll still as well and take the second car.
Bishop, do you think you could talk them all into not boarding the train and getting those on off?
I think about it. And I...
So that may alert Constantine if he's in the area.
Yes.
A giant explosion would have.
Hey, Bert, I do a quick look at the crowd with using that alertness roll from earlier.
Yes.
Thanks to my...
Crowd outside or crowd in one of the cars? Have you boarded any of the cars first, I should ask?
No. I'm about to board the first car.
Yeah, I mean, no one really catches your attention. You actually know a few people in the crowd from the neighborhood, You're basically middle of the day, and this is the time that people are coming back from their lunch breaks, probably going back to work. So it's pretty busy down here.
Okay, I'm going to I know I'm going to hate this, but...
What are you going to do?
I say I get Marshall. Okay, I'm going to say that we need to do an inspection of this train, and we'd like to get everyone off. Do you think that would work? That we just need to do an inspection, you know, just normal inspection, nothing super serious, but we got a weird... No, I don't want to say weird report, but we just... I need to figure out something quickly.
Yeah, people are starting to board as you're talking.
I look at Marshall quickly. Do you shake your head or anything?
I'm busy playing with the radio thing, trying to get more out of it.
Marlo?
Oh, hell no. We get on the train.
Okay, I'm get on.
And then about 5-10 minutes in, we get the engine, you know, we do a quick search. If we find, don't pull them up, then we tell the engineer to please stop the train. And then we start, you know, tossing people off. It'll be hilarious.
Okay, so the two of you are boarding one of the four train sections, and you're just going in like a normal passengers and kind of looking around the crowd. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, Gavin, you're staying outside?
No, I'll be going into.
You're going into? Okay. All right, you're able to get a little bit more finer detail. Which of the four do you board?
The middle one. So
middle ones? I mean, okay.
With the count of the train engineer as being like number one, I go for the middle one.
All right. Yeah, you're able to...
Pass the train signal and stuff. Do it by halves.
Yes, very nice. Yes, you're able to tell, like, the signal is, when you board, it's slightly more to your right than it was before you boarded. So you've got, like, a little bit of fine control, enough to know that you need to go up a bit. It's likely the signal's not coming from the car that you just boarded. Chef, what are you doing?
I think I'm going to go inspect the very last car.
All right, you enter the last car, and Austin? See, you don't even know who or what you're looking for, keep in mind.
I'll accompany Austin.
I figure if someone's going to jump off the train, they'd do it from the rear, you know.
I'm going to follow the smartest guy here, that I think.
So he's going to follow.
I can't tell who that is.
He's going to follow.
The guy with the most gadgets, probably.
Either the guy with the most gadgets or the guy with the accent. Because everyone with an accent is smart.
So he's going with Von Hunde, the good Hundegaard.
Why not?
All right, and Hundegaard.
Why do you feel the need to always clarify that?
Because I forget your first name and I know there's a second Von Hundegaard.
I'm not sure that that's the good one.
And no, but he's the morality-wise.
Who is Hundegaard going with, or what are you doing?
I'm taking Austin with, and I'll also be checking. I believe there's one. All the cars have been taken right now.
I don't know. I don't know where Marlo went.
Marlo went with Gavin into the middle car. Chef went into the last car. You went into.
I'll take the second car then.
You mean the second to last? Because I took the second car.
Oh, so no one took the first.
The first is the engineer. You can't get to the engineer.
Ah, it's completely exposed. Oh, sorry. I was thinking that these are the ones where you section it off halfway up the nose. There's like a cabin.
Yeah.
Okay,
you can't get there from here. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go in at the second one then.
Okay. Everybody can... those of you who know what you're looking for can give me investigation rolls.
I'll give you another alertness roll.
Do investigation this time.
Oh, dear.
I'm not looking. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're doing your special thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Then you can keep the same thing. You don't need to roll again.
Okay. So 5, 7 if I recognize it.
And I'm sorry, which car did you go into again?
The second car, the car right behind the engineer.
Okay. Very good. All right. And Gavin is kind of doing his scanning thing. One thing, you guys with fives, both of you, that would be Marlo and Bishop, right? Mm-hmm. Bishop, you're scanning the car that you're in just kind of nonchalantly, you know, acting like you're just getting on, maybe going to work yourself, looking around. The car's pretty packed, enough so that the seats are all taken up. Several people are standing in the middle of the aisles holding on to the oh crap bars. And... your eye is caught by woman who's sitting pretty close to the far right-hand side at the very end of end of the table. She's got a trench coat on, pulled up over her neck, and her long blonde hair is kind of spilling out underneath kind of like a Parisian cap, and she's got dark glasses on, and she's kind of huddled into herself. She's got enough clothing on that it's really hard to know for sure, but you think you recognize her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Everybody. I'm going to kind of mosey on through back a car, trying to keep her in my kind of corner of my eye type thing.
Give me an empathy roll.
Okay. Empathy, that's a 3.
A 3. Okay, she looks frightened.
Frightened at seeing me, or?
No, you don't actually think she's actually seen you at all. She's like, you notice a slight tremble. Her skin is very pale, and she's like really just kind of withdrawing into herself, trying to make herself less conspicuous, and she's biting her nails every so often. You're pretty sure she hasn't taken any notice of you at all.
She doesn't have any cases. She just has the trench coat, correct?
Yes.
Oh, does she seem to be a large woman or a small woman?
Well, it's hard to tell because the trench coat's kind of, it's a large trench coat. Too large for a frame because her neck is very dainty. And, her face and neck is really all you can make out of her form.
Yes. I'm going to make sure to go to the car, the next car.
Okay, that will be the one that gave in.
And I'm going to try and get their attention nonchalantly.
They're moving forwards.
So we meet.
You'll meet. Yeah. So in between the sections of car, there's not open air. It's kind of got this accordion-like skin in between because the car needs to stay airtight since it's just the whole thing runs on suction. So you've got basically a sliding door in between each different cab, and it's really accessible, no locks or anything.
I kind of whisper to them in there. I'm guessing there's at least some background noise.
There's plenty of noise, people talking, okay. Yelling.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on a subway that's packed?
No, I haven't.
It's loud.
Okay, then I make sure to speak probably into their ears so they can hear me. And I basically blah on the woman, and I think she may have some device on her.
Don't do anything.
That's what I'm thinking.
We need to either get that device off it or replicate it with this. Ourselves.
Judging by her demeanor, I don't think she's on this train voluntarily.
Yeah, because as soon as that thing stops broadcasting, boom.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is not going to be powerful enough, I don't think. Damn it.
And,
should have thought that one a bit earlier.
In the back of the train, Chef, you've kind of looking down the back. Back of the train's also pretty packed. There's no standing room. People give you like the stink eye because you're kind of a large guy and you're taking up a lot of room. People are complaining. Are you sure? It's like, hey, come on, man.
It's all right. I'm a chef. I'm a likable guy.
Stop sampling your own wares.
Here, have a free sandwich. Half eaten.
The guy takes it. it's pretty packed back here. It smells really bad. People are really tight confinement, and it hasn't been aired out in a while. Of course, there's windows, but they're all closed because they can't have any kind of open windows on these trains. And, otherwise you don't really see anything odd. People are surly, especially when you're trying to push your way through this crowd.
All right, I'll move up to the next car then.
All right.
Sort of push my way to the front.
All right, as you're coming in, you're kind of seeing the guys you came in with are heading further up. You kind of you see the tail end of them as they're moving between cars. Hundegard, who were you with?
I was inviting Austin to come with me, and I I have rolled a 5 on my investigation. I was going to add a +2.
All right, and which car did you hop into?
The second one, just behind the driver.
All right. Engineer. Okay, and you also notice this lady. It's actually you're certain you've seen her somewhere before, but you really can't say for certain because of how she's dressed. But she looks familiar to you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And I got no better than Daniel Bishop, so I...
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say you guys kind of all congregate in one car. You're all standing up because, as I've described, it's kind of packed. You know, people are kind of mumbling at you because you're kind of all taking up the center of the train.
All right. So, Mr. Marshall? I believe we all, you did say we all gathered in the same
car. Yes, yeah, you're all kind of in the same car, standing up in a line.
Well, actually, we're between cars.
Between cars, yeah, you've opened the door, so you're kind of standing, you know, some of you are standing in one car, some in the other.
Let's try not to look too conspicuous here.
Too late.
You have your device. Can you check on the woman in that car?
I've only got the portable radio backpack with me. Crudely.
Not too good.
But not precisely, and I don't think I can replicate the signal with this, and even if I could, I don't think it's got enough power to broadcast.
Mm-hmm. As you guys are talking in between cars, there's a lurch, and the train starts moving.
So you think it's the woman?
Yes.
I think she's carrying something. I don't know if it's the radio, the sender, or if it's a nasty surprise for us. Either way, it's not nice.
I think
given the power of this thing, I suspect she's been strapped into whatever the hell it is.
Yes, and there's probably, I look to Marlo, there's probably a bomb attached, and that's why she's not moving. And why she's been here probably for a while.
Maybe. Does anybody recognize her?
She seems familiar, but I don't know exactly who she is. The disguise is just too much.
Do y'all remember a certain lady who was German? Or worked for the Germans? And we wrapped her up in duct tape? Does she look familiar to that?
Are you talking about the one at the hospital place?
The one
that someone helped escape?
No, I think we are referring to...
Evelyn.
Yes, that one.
Wasn't Bob keeping an eye on him?
Bob would not be the most reliable person about women. Particularly pretty women. Particularly pretty women that are willing to do things.
At least there is the scandal.
I don't trust Bob. So, does she look like that?
Even with the him reminding you, it just doesn't twinge. You can't say for sure.
It sounds about right, but for all I know, she could be an even older woman who was one of the original women I captured when the hospital was destroyed.
Okay, is this something I could...
That's your fiancé.
Can I spend another chip to increase my roll on, I guess, kind and careful? Could I increase my roll to see if I remember better now?
You would have to go back in and get another look at her and do this as an investigation roll, as another separate roll. You can't increase it at this point, no.
Okay.
Oh, why don't we bring them in so they get a look also?
Because they don't
want
to
all crowd. We don't want to all crowd the woman. Yeah. Make her panic, and for all we know, this device is hooked up to her blood. Yeah,
she's already in a panic. Did you even look at her?
Yeah. Well, all right. Who here is the best with women? I think that would be you, Mr. Marshall, wouldn't it?
Boy, did he just say Marshall is the best with the women?
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah! Brain fart moment. I look confused. I look at Marshall in a new light.
In his secret identity as the Marmoset Avenger, he's quite the lady killer.
Oh, you did meet your bitch, Marsh.
Actually, I believe you have a memory stunt, which does that only apply to things you read, or does it also apply to faces?
It applies to everything I've seen.
Yep. Anything he's seen.
Memory stunt?
Then I believe you should get a look.
So, why don't
you... So, seeing how made up she is, I may not recognize her. You know, good memory doesn't mean you can see through disguises.
Yes. Okay, so, while we discuss, people are potentially going to die. So, let's shove Marshall up there. And then, if plan A fails, then Bishop, you go and chat her up.
Okay. What is it that you're expecting me to do?
If you recognize her, you know, then use your natural suave natural suave way to introduce yourself and say, do something. I don't know.
I look at him confused, wondering.
I'm with the government. I'm here to help.
I look at Jeff and like a beaky nose. It's like, I don't remember him being a ladies' man. I remember him being easily convinced by the last woman he dealt with.
Come with me if you wish to live.
Exactly. And we'll see what's going on.
So the plan is you're going to shove Gavin in and have him take a look?
Yeah. Here, let me hold that computer for you.
The easiest thing to do would be, in fact, for you to go and start talking to her to distract her, so the rest of us could easily take a look without her noticing us.
That's fine. Bishop, you're going to take another one for the team.
Okay. All I ask is that if I die, everything goes to the children of the orphanage in my area.
Absolutely.
All of his illegitimate children. Yes.
Hey. Watson and Crick told me about this awesome device. Bishop started using it.
Prophylactics.
Oh, look, the police are coming.
Mm. All right. Well, so, Bishop, if you want to make your way up there, you know, train's moving, so it's a little bit more difficult to wind your way through people. People are even more surly now. You're trying to wind your way through. Gavin, are you entering behind, or what's everyone else doing?
Yeah, I'll hand off the radio receiver to someone else first, so I'm not carrying that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To the Australian.
All right, Bishop, give me a roll on Smarm.
Rapport?
Yes.
Well, if by some miracle she doesn't know me, I get first impressions, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, plus 2 if I get first impressions somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 for rapport.
Okay, sure. So how do you approach her?
Smoothly, I, you know, kind of pass, you know, Ketchin's like, you know, you look like someone I know. I once knew.
All right.
And I'll see how much she panics.
And what's your total?
6.
She's good. You barely see the expression. You know, just a quick, you know, downturn of her lips into a slight frown, but she like recovers very quick. You know, someone less skilled would not have caught it, and. See that quick frown turns into a smile, and she nods at you.
Hi, I'm Daniel Bishop. What's your name? I extend my hand with one hand, obviously holding whatever the heck to stay balanced.
She extends a hand to you to shake your hand, and Gavin.
Yep.
Yeah, give me a roll there.
I make sure to give, you know, kind of a good shake so that, you know, it's a little bit more hearty and.
What's skill?
Investigation, since you're trying to actively look.
4.
All right, just sent you a message.
Actually, a Bert, what would this roll be to accidentally, you know, just lose my grip and kind of bump her and kind of, you know, like stumble a little bit, maybe knock the hat off?
Okay, I would say if you wanted to spend a chip on it, because you only beat her by one at this point, if you could get another point in there, I'd allow you to get a little bit of advantage and do something like that. Anything you can tap for it?
Man of the people. I know how to talk with people, and I always interact with people.
Sure, sure. And you go to do it just another... straight plus two. Yeah, I'll let you do that. You work with the bumping of the train, and you lurch forward just as the train gives a little bump, and you lean forward, and you brush her hat off, along with apparently moving enough of hair to see that she's wearing a wig. And this is when you notice, Jameis, or when Gavin notices.
Do I recognize her now?
Nah, not quite. Although you know that she is more fully disguised than just wearing clothing. I mean, she's actually wearing a wig as well.
Is it a she?
Is it a she?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a she.
Good.
Is she kind of just being defensive, not really talking with me?
No, actually, except for that momentary frown that you just caught, you know, she extends her hand to meet you or to greet you. And to answer your question, she says, I'm Elena.
That name does not ring any bells, does it?
No.
And I kind of just start doing the normal chit-chat type stuff, just like, what do you do, you know, that type of thing. You know, it's interesting meeting people on the train, etc. You know, kind of just the normal talk, just a little bit, just to make sure the conversation seems normal instead of, hey, who are you?
Yeah, oh, I bumped you at least. She flirts back with you a little bit. She's using her own rapport. Wow. That's a 7.
what am I
Yeah, so basically she's doing something of an attack on you here. You know, she's doing a little bit of flirtation with you, trying to feel you out as well, see kind of what you're up to. So you would resist that. You can use either empathy if you wanted to, you know, give her whatever impression you want. You can beat it with your empathy, so you can make that seem however you want. Otherwise, you could do, well, you tell me what you want to defend against. She's trying to learn something from you from this. Your intentions, basically, is what she's going for. So you could use deceit, you could use empathy.
Oh, we lost Nick.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to decide what I want to do because... I'm trying to decide what I want to do because I'm realizing 7. Yeah, I may want to just concede now. Could I roll conviction to convince to show like a heavy conviction that I'm, you know, actually wanting to go after her and get her number, etc.?
That's more of a deceit or empathy. Conviction is you're basically, you know, stone.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I mean, what you can do, I mean, you can just stonewall and give nothing away versus trying to give a false information.
Yeah, yeah. I think I will roll conviction, even though I'll need an amazing roll like her in order to not give anything away, considering I think she has the same frickin' rapport I do. Let's see. 1, 2, 5. I'm going to die later this game.
That's the hope. I mean, really?
Political mastermind for a +2 to make me exactly 7.
Okay. Yeah, then it's just deflection.
I know how to, I know how to not reveal what I know.
And let's see. I'm answering questions back and forth. Let me send something to Nick real quick.
Oh, crap. The Skype is about to crash. Give me a minute. Mm-hmm. Jameis needs to switch from. Jameis needs to join.
Did you get that message, Nick?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, there's James gets back home. Ask him, is it your ex-wife?
By the way, after I get an indication that I'm going to try and, you know, kind of quickly close the deal, get a number, and then kind of move on the back, kind of move.
Yeah, you exchange pleasantries for a bit, and she even drops you the line of like, yeah, give me a call sometime. I'm going back to work right now. You can call me at 555, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then I kind of like smile at her and start heading back.
Even better. She slides you a business card.
Oh, dear God. Why does that name, actually, Elena, remind me of that person?
Which person does it remind you of?
I'd swear that was the name of the girl that I shocked from the hospital.
She scribbles something on the back, smiles up at you, hands you the business card, folds it to your hand, and says, give me a call sometime.
I'll make sure to. And I kind of just slowly move my way back. Oh, seriously, is that?
We haven't gotten
I make sure
James to... back yet, have we? No.
He's still... Oh, no. Oh, now he should be able to call him. Yeah, because I'm going to draw what he says. There we go.
So you've walked away from her. You're going back, and then you're looking at it, or what are you doing?
I'm kind of like looking around, maybe bump into, you know, bump through the people back towards our group, and hopefully, kind of eye Jameis, see if he gives me the nod or something.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Gavin, Mr. Bishop's making his way back through the train. Looks like the girl handed him a business card after they made some pleasantries.
Yeah, I'm not paying attention to Bishop.
What does it say on the back of the card?
Okay, so you look at the back of the card, and it's written in, you know, a tight handwritten. It says, help me, I'm not safe.
I nod, knowing exactly what's going on. I nod, and...
So, is it your ex-wife, or is it the duct tape seductress?
Gavin hasn't rejoined the team if you're talking to him.
I've been kind of, you know, tailing him, shall we say.
I go over to Marlo, since Gavin's obviously not paying attention, and I show him the back of the card.
Hundegard, Chef, and Austin, you're all in kind of in the same area now too.
Well, I've been telling them; they've been telling me. Okay.
What are your findings?
She's desperate and needs help, and Gavin isn't talking.
Why?
So I go to see to Mr. Marshall.
I honestly don't know what to do, so I can't say anything. I just don't know.
Jerry, any ideas?
I stare at the kangaroo, and I look back at him and go, you do realize we're trying to not draw attention?
Are there cameras on these cars?
No. Each of the train stations have cameras, but in the cars, no.
Boy, question. I'm going to sound stupid here, but who are we looking for?
I
think in this time I had a moment to blow you in on a rough description of what Constantine
we have
sometimes
three,
looks
we have,
like.
We have like two different descriptions. The nondescript
know,
and then the
him,
eyeball one.
I'm giving him the eyeball one because that's the more likely one to notice.
Boy.
So, man with a glass eye. But I would like to check the people who are easily able to look at the woman. The passengers who had the clear view of her. look over each of them in turn.
Those of you that had original alertness rolls that were 5 or higher all noticed that Gavin apparently has something in his eye as he's blinking furiously.
I have an idea. I don't know if it'll work, but I could make a distraction. You know, just whip out some like cooking knives and, you know, start cooking something up for the entire cart.
And I you look guys at him talk to the
woman, like secretly.
I quickly. Look at the stuffed car and look at him and go, "Are you trying to kill people?"
I'm just saying, man. I mean, okay. A distraction might be enough to you can go talk to the girl and see what the real deal is.
We need to figure out Gavin knows who she is. We need
to. I'm actually heading over to talk to Gavin. That's what I'm going to do. Thing is, I've got the empathy here, so.
I'm muted. Ha ha. Gavin's
Yeah. There we go.
As I said before, if you're muted, no one.
Getting off at the next station. Fair enough. She's wired up.
That's one sheet. Is there anything we can do?
Get whatever's on it off her so she can get out of here. She thinks ideas. Someone might be watching her so we can't go up to the surface.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. I could distract him so you can go talk to her real quick. I don't know. You'd have to do it.
Talk to her. We're getting off the next stop.
What will that achieve? What's your plan?
Hopefully we can go somewhere a bit more private so we can see what she's wired up with.
Mm-hmm. Can you say we were taking her with us?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Do you want to go? Mr. Bishop, I believe you've had the most success in talking to her. Why don't you go up and invite her to join us?
I look to Gavin. Would you rather do it?
We can simply wait for the next stop. And then leave.
Well, let's.
Are we leaving with her?
We can't do anything right this moment, and we don't want to draw undue attention.
Yes. I agree with him on this.
See, I mean, what if what's going on is it's a transmitting device that she has on her? You know?
Yes.
That's transmitting audio, and it's not a visual thing. She felt comfortable enough to write on the back of the card.
We know that there's no other signals coming out of that except for the signal going to the explosive devices. We can scan that.
Is that true, actually? I mean, is...
Yes.
We look to the GM to double check that is true.
As far as he knows, it's true.
Yeah.
Does anyone here know hand sign language?
I guess.
What are the chances that Constantine knows Latin?
Good.
I wouldn't be surprised if he knows Swahili and Arabic.
Yeah.
All that.
While you guys are discussing, somebody starts up yelling at Chef in the back. It's like, hey, come on, point that butt somewhere else. You're kind of oversized. You've been standing with your butt nearly in somebody's face. He's like kind of pushing you, Chef, to get to move out of the way. Come on, move along. You're blocking the way.
How
do the underground stations have bathrooms?
Yes.
Right.
Oi, shut up. We're talking.
How normal of it would there to be a kind of almost brawl-like situation in one of these cars?
Tension's been actually... The car's packed pretty tight. It's really hot. So people are kind of frayed, you know, on edge right now anyway. And with you guys kind of standing like right in the middle of everything and not moving anywhere, you know, there are people... already taking offense to that. You know, there's a guy in the back already starting to pick a fight with Chef.
I'm pretty sure I could start a riot like right now if I wanted.
Yeah, we could start. Well, we could start something up as a distraction.
Distraction for what? We leave. We go to. We want to go to the male.
Okay.
Female woman's bathroom.
Right. We leave. The crate bomb goes off. A lot of people die. I mean, that could be what she might have been given instructions. Do I not just get off the train.
You said she can't leave the train.
I can clear the car. Guys, you want me to clear the car? I can do it right now. No one would get hurt. It would be completely awesome.
I make sure to grab my gas mask.
Exactly. I can clear the car right now.
Oh, God. I make sure to add the aroma.
Yeah, we're pecked in here. The other cars
are pecked. The fart that saved the day.
Not exactly as if we've got a lot of room here.
Well, we could have the, do something of that nature. Not a fart, but maybe something that is a chemical reagent. Keep her on the train.
Keep in mind that the cars can't stop because you're in a vacuum tube, basically. So it's not like people can leave the car.
Yeah. Will we do it at the next stop? How long?
The next car, though, right?
Hmm? Yeah, they could try and flee to the other cars and back even further up. Maybe 10 minutes. You're pretty close.
We could wait till then. This thing isn't going to go off till she gets off.
Yeah, and so we keep her on this car, and we make sure that we're the only people on it. This freaking horror.
If it works, enough people know me that I could try something. Just ask them that we, due to our reasons, they know me, I need to have this car alone, etc., etc.
Only if you know to stay on me.
Yeah.
I could have killed the people in the next minutes. And
I'll go up to the front of the car to go check on the engineer.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, he could
sure.
I'll make sure Marlo's coming with me.
Okay.
Yeah. Throw you on the plane.
This is the only place in the train that has a door that's actually got a lock on it. It's got a little plate that says engineer.
Okay, I'm going to pause the call for a second.
Sure.
Can I roll burglary to take the look?
I look at him and shake my head. I tap the glass.
Sure. You hear something from the other side. Yeah!
I show badge and say, and I kind of like put my finger to my lips as the shh, and I show him my badge.
Oh, yeah, 1 minute. You hear there's a kind of a clunking sound from the side of the door, and it's pushed open towards you.
I go in and see if Marlo's coming with me.
I will be following.
All right. There's two guys in here. One sitting in a chair is operating some control surfaces. The other guy is sipping on what looks like a flask of alcohol.
Okay. So he's not the engineer.
The guy who's drinking? they both have things on their gear that say engineer.
Okay.
Oh, Constantine's not the engineer.
Is anyone cutting out right now?
Some of you are, some of you aren't.
Okay, someone else needs to host the call. Someone else needs to host the call. I think I'm done for now.
All right.
It could also be too many people.
Yeah.
Possibly. Let's give it a try, though. Nick, will you try hosting? I'm back.
Yeah.
And no, both engineers are way outside of size of what you think Constantine looks like. One of them is much older, and the other guy is just kind of really short.
Gentlemen, is there a way in which we could, for reasons of security, pretty much lock down the first car and only allow just disembark everyone and just have the people that we want on the first car?
Now?
We're
in a compressed tube, sir.
No, when we get to the next station.
When we get to the next station, has there been any reason that, for safety reasons or et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, we could take the car out of service, bad wheels, loss of, yeah, there could be a hole in the skin. We can do that for you.
Well, I want the car to still be moving. I just don't want other people to be on the car, except the five that we want on there, or eight now, the 27 that our group has grown to.
Yeah, yeah, we'll make an announcement at the next stop and just tell passengers that it's closed. We're doing repairs on it. Will that be good for you? Now, I'll still be able to haul the rest of the other three trails, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, yeah, we'll continue this schedule. It's just that car is not just going to have only the people we want in there.
Actually, let's not do that for the next stop. Let's save that for the stop after in case there's listeners or viewers. Damn, I hate this.
I look at him. Let's just do the next stop. It's not going to make any difference.
It will if he's listening in on, if he has a transmitter on her. But let's...
If he has a transmitter on her, we're already in trouble.
An audio transmitter, not a visual.
We are already in trouble. I know he recognizes my voice.
One of the engineers looks down and says, next stop in 3 minutes.
What about my voice? He doesn't have mine.
Right, but he's
already... I've already had a conversation with her.
Damn. Oh, well. So sad fest. Oh, well.
Yes, we already figured that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make the announcement. We're going to leave her on. We're going to very carefully remove, and you're the person who's going to be doing this. You are the demolitions expert. You are going to be the person. Yes, you are going to be the one who checks to make sure there are no booby traps. You two engineers, just do your job like you need to.
What about me?
You're going to watch and help make sure that no one else enters the car.
Hell, yeah, let's just do a quick search for the Constantine and the passengers and...
I've been looking already, and I haven't seen him.
Nah, I'm blatantly.
All right, so you're just going to bull through and just like really give everybody the once over?
Yeah, and I'm looking for cameras. I'm just...
Okay, well, give me an investigation roll first.
Maybe I need to give this radio find me back to Orson's face.
Gavin.
Black boy.
That's a 5 with a 7 with my, if I can use, I can see that. If I can't see you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And I'll do a single chip to get it up to a 9.
All right. Really good. Okay. So you're going through the train and, what happens is a lot of people basically just get in your face and it's like, what are you staring at? And people around them is like, what's going on? Hey, didn't you guys just go in the engineering room?
Yeah. I'll be using intimidation to just move past and.
Okay, give me a roll.
Really, really not interested. I'm not interested in messing with people. I just want to cow them.
If he draws the knife, he's going to cause a riot.
That's a 7 on my intimidation.
All right.
Holy crud.
Because this is a crowd versus one guy kind of intimidating, actually, you get a little bit of pushback. I mean, people are yelling at you, but they're not trying to stop.
I'm looking through the window and I tell the engineers, since we're getting close, please make the announcement.
All right. Engineer gets on the horn and says, all right, folks, we're arriving on schedule. When the train stops, please everybody exit as quickly as possible. We've got a small problem with our lead train. Nothing to worry about now. Just for safety reasons, we ask everybody to park quickly. Train will be closed for business. The other three trains still available. If you are continuing along the line, please move to the train down, and we'll continue on our way.
I make sure to
write that. Driving Metapole Ways.
Also, I make sure to grab a piece of pencil and probably some notepaper, and I write, do not leave this car, and I go over to the woman and show it to her, now that the announcement has been made.
All right, she nods at you.
Give.
And I just kind of stand and wait for the train to arrive and make sure that Marlo doesn't get the hell beat out of him.
All right, Marlo, everyone's pretty angry with you, but no one's really trying to impede you or stop you. And yeah, you see a couple of faces you recognize just from around town. Nothing that's, you know, very suspicious to you. You're not finding anything. You're not seeing any cameras anywhere, although you do notice there are speakers and microphones in every cab. But they look like it's part of, you know, it doesn't look like it's been retrofitted. It looks like it's part of the engine.
All right.
All right, and the train comes to a stop, and doors open, and people file out pretty quickly from yours. A few of the passengers go to another passenger car down, and the engineers pop out at the stop, and they're telling everyone to please go to the next cars down. They hang up a sign saying out of service on the car that you guys are in, and they shut down the door so no one else can come in. So you're all left alone in there. With the mysterious lady, the engineers are back in their compartment.
Hey, Bert, I make sure that if there are windows that people could see us in, that they get closed.
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't wonder why there's a group of people inside this one car and no one else is allowed in.
One of the engineers actually come by with like a padlock and they lock the accordion door between your train and the ones behind. And you know, pull the shutter on your side closed.
I'm handing the woman my notepad and a pencil or something to write with, so that she at least she may not be able to speak at her leisure, but she can at least write.
Actually, before you do that, she pulls off her hat, wig, and glasses, and relaxes a little bit easier into the seat and says, "Well, that's either saved us or doomed us, gentlemen."
Yes, we do that a lot.
I believe sink or swim is our motto.
Mostly die.
I thought it was laugh or we'll cry.
That's my motto on how to get through life, not how we seem to get through these situations.
She stands up out of the seat and she takes off the trench coat that she's wearing, and strapped onto her is kind of like a metal vest. There are odd-shaped bumps around it, and there is a blinking red light on the front that seems to be like keeping pace, like almost like a heartbeat. And she kind of gives a little twirl around and strikes a pose, and she says, "The latest in lethal wear." She's still looking very pale, but she's trying to, you know, the gallows humor thing.
Yes, unfortunately, it's broadcasting a signal that should it stop will cause things to go boom.
And she raps on the little light up front and says, This is registering my heart rate. If I die, it goes off. If you try to remove it, it goes off." And she points to the little odd bumps on it. "These are also explosives. If I die, they go off. If you try to remove it, they go off."
What method does it use to register your heart rate?
"I don't know. I was knocked unconscious. I woke up. This was strapped to me. And this crazy man tells me that I've got 2 days head start. And when he catches me, he's going to kill me. And when I die, the city dies."
I smile and can't. And think back to all my kidnappings. I say, "Okay, can you go through the process of what you remember before you were knocked out?" And I'm going through the process to see if I can get as much information as I can about what happened. And I also ask her, "Do I know you?"
And she smiles and proceeds to wipe off a bit of makeup and tells you that she's colored her hair as well. But you do recognize her. I'm sorry.
What you were physically met, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. Yeah, you haven't met her physically, Bishop. No, actually, yeah, Bishop did, because wasn't Bishop on the submarine when you took her away?
I can't recall who was there. Who wasn't? I really don't.
Okay, who is this?
It's his ex-wife.
I think I was on the submarine, but I wasn't. Don't remember any of it.
Yes, you were on the submarine. It was.
You were on the submarine. You got off, I think, at one point. There, weren't you one of the people who jumped off?
The submarine was at the end of the session, so just sort of it went away, and then
Drina, myself, and Mr. Me. Bishop there.
I met her, but I stayed behind to take care of a couple thugs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Constantine tried to kill her then.
Then tried to kill us. He tried to
I
kill
don't
her.
Actually think I was there no. for that episode.
Yes, you were.
Am I not remembering it?
A quick question for you then, and madam. Do you feel like you have been stabbed or you have a needle embedded in your skin? Anything such as that?
It itches, and I can't really feel much of my chest. I think I was injected with something. I was tracking down this man and filtering information to Gaven, and the last thing I remember is going to use the ladies' room and a bar I'd followed him to.
Okay, and I go through the steps in my mind. Okay, and when you woke up, where did you wake up? Any descriptions, anything you remember in between? You know, you might have woken up for a couple of seconds, anything like that.
Woke up in a warehouse on the docks. It was night. There were some people talking in the distance.
Were there crates?
I couldn't see his... Yeah, there were a lot of crates around. It was a dock warehouse. I couldn't see his face. I just heard a voice from the darkness telling me to run. And that I had a couple of days to lose myself, that he would start to hunt me.
Uh-huh. And this warehouse, do you know at least where it was relative to the docks? Like, do you remember?
It was on the docks.
Yes, but I know, but which warehouse? Do you know, like, was it really close to the Zeppelin yards? Was it further away? You know, kind of, I'm trying to get her to see if she can figure out which warehouse it was of the many warehouses so that I can tell Marlo to go send a sniffer that were there.
She tries to recall and shakes her head and says, I think I was drugged during the time. I can't. It's hazy. I can't remember much. It was a warehouse on the docks. I heard foghorns.
Bert, quick question.
Mm-hmm.
If someone has an item that spent a chip to get a stunt, can they, as it were, relinquish it, or is it if they sacrificed it for something, would it be gone? Or
no, if you use it with a stunt, it's never gone, although it may negate it for the current session. So, like, it may malfunction at the end of the session, and then it would be working fine by next.
Right. What we need is a if we want to try and replicate the signal with something we can broadcast a signal with, and something that's very powerful broadcasting, I say looking at Bishop's phone.
That seems sound.
I have to ask you, can you at least get the recordings off of it first?
The recordings are going to be recorded to like a reel-to-reel wire type of thing.
Oh, okay, so then I'll make sure to... I need to get this out of it first, the recording stuff.
Oh, we need to... Well, if we need to make an urgent phone call first, we'll probably sort that out, but I may need to use some of your phone to cobble something together to broadcast a signal so we can get Marlene out of that thing.
Okay. I just need to get this little piece out of it due to... just in case Barnum decides to not get out of the race. So I'll need to get that, but I'll let you use my phone, but I want it back eventually. If it doesn't get back, I know where you work.
Oh, you'll have it back by next session, don't worry.
I make sure to get the recording stuff out first. And if we need to get a replacement one, we can make that call.
Yeah, it records onto basically a thin wire. So you just pull the spool off and you've got your recordings there. Yeah.
And I make sure I carefully store it somewhere where it won't be destroyed. And I had, and I gingerly relinquished my phone over to Gavin. Thinking, how am I supposed to call and drive now?
Maui, what's your opinion of that thing?
Can I give
you've got a demolition skill, right?
Yes.
Yeah, give me a roll.
I took the town. I took it as a stunt.
Yeah. No, oh, you don't have demolitions as a specialty to repair?
He has a stunt.
Yeah, I took it as in the book, it's a stunt.
Yeah, okay.
So if I could have taken it without a stunt, I would have done that. But
well, it could have been a specialty under repair, or it could have been a specialty under scholarship. I mean, you know, you could have done it that way, but the stunt works fine, too. So what do you got for a roll there? What are you rolling, scholarship plus your stunt?
If you won't, I was thinking normally I roll craftsmanship. But
yeah, craftsmanship. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
that's giving me a total of a 4.
Okay. Do you have any repair at all?
It's actually craftsmanship repair.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got you. All right. Okay, it looks like there's a couple of things going on. Yes, it's a transmitter. The pods, though, look like just good old-fashioned explosives, probably wired into some kind of mechanical, you know, lever. Like, if you tried to remove it, it would just, you know, it set them off.
Right.
Looks like there's enough explosive there, you know, looking at it, that it wouldn't be a big explosion, but it would certainly kill her. Maybe a few people in the area would get hurt. It's strapped awfully tight to her body as well.
Right. So
what we've seen of Constantine's explosives, would they require a detonator, or can they be set off by naked flame or things like that?
From what you've seen of his stuff, it's really solid. Like it would need a detonator. Right. Like it's not going to go off on accident. He uses really. Okay.
He wants it to go off when he wants it to go off.
Okay, so as dangerous and stupid as it seems, as an emergency, it would be possible to get power tools of some kind and get the explosive nodules off the outside. As stupid and dangerous as it is. And just checking, would that count as a detonator from what we've seen of his wares?
Well, Marlo, with you looking at it, you might be able to, but you have also the suspicion that if were you making this booby trap, you'd probably also have a detonator connected to the case that's that is being held in as well.
Yeah, basically.
I want to.
Okay, so
I'm actually going to look. Let's see, looking at the seats, looking at the floors, the railings, the storage areas in this car, picking everything.
Sure. So yeah, you're poking around the car to see if there's anything odd here as well. All right. Just give me an investigation roll while you're doing that. All right, Gavin, you're holding on to Mr. Bishop's phone.
Yes. That's right. He wants the best to do this with.
Huh. Well,
Austin, yeah, you come up with a lot of lint and chewing gum on the bottoms of lots of chairs.
Oh, let's see.
Joy might have crapped in there somewhere.
I'm actually going to go with Think Tank and spend my 1 point to re-roll that. This is bad.
The vest around... I'm trying to think. I'll just ask this bluntly. Could Gavin get his hand down the front of the vest?
If you wanted to get a bit familiar with Marlene, sure.
He's already been familiar with Marlene. Yeah. Marlene, if you don't mind, I might be a good idea if I investigate to see how it's attached to your heart or anything. Need to put my hand down there to see if I can detect any wires connecting to you.
She does the pose where she brushes back her hair and she sticks her chest out to you and leans over a little.
No offense, Gavin, but no. I know it's probably better that you do it, but I'd rather have the guy who knows explosives would know what he's looking at.
I would rather have the guy who knows medicine to know how it...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Fine.
And you guys will look away.
I will look away.
I will not. No, I will.
Yeah, oh, he sneaks a peek.
He sneaks a peek.
No.
Oh, yeah.
He pulls his spy camera out and starts leering over you.
No, he gets his glasses with the mirrors on the sides.
But sure. Gavin, give me... go ahead and make me a medical roll, actually.
Yeah.
And Marlene kind of, you know, quietly, but it's kind of a stage whisper so everyone else can hear, says, reminds you of our wedding night, doesn't it?
So, thinking of that time in Kakusk, never mind. Seven.
Seven. You feel there's like a probe with a needle tip that is it is actually going through like her chest bone.
Jolt. That is actually going right into her heart. That's not good.
It's going actually into her heart, you say?
Oh, no, it's going into her chest. I assume it's going into her heart. It's just the one?
Yeah, it just feels like there's just the one. It's placed right above her chest, the chest bone, the plate right there, and there's a needle just going into the skin.
A needle?
Yep.
The bombs are a distraction. The thing has also probably got a secondary where it will just destroy her heart besides the explosives.
Well, it could also be used to read a heartbeat as well.
It'll probably do both, knowing Constantine. He has backups within backups, it seems like.
And Austin, looking around the train, I mean, you give it a really good once-over, but you really don't find anything that you wouldn't expect to be here.
Except for the random kangaroo.
Yeah, yeah, there's a little Joey crap in the back now. But other than that, you didn't really feel anything else like attached to her, as far as you could feel down on like on the insides anywhere.
Yep.
So
this may be a stupid question. This is drawing broadcast electricity, like most normal devices in Metapol. Or is it on his own power supply?
You haven't actually examined it yet, Gavin, if you want to do that. Give me a repair roll there.
Since I'm right there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Repair roll. Actually, not as good. So, come on, pluses. Oh, lots of minuses. That would really suck.
Can I supplement him with my knowledge?
Yeah.
Academics.
Yep. If you...
Wow. Why did I make that roll?
The second one was worse.
I'm going to have to spend a chip.
Okay, if I'm allowed scholarship, then that's a 7. I'll also throw in I may have read that.
Okay, well, the most you're going to be able to do well with a 7, you can give him a +3 to his roll with a 7.
Oh. All right, I can't increase it even further?
The +4 is the cap, but you'd have to get to 7, 8, 9. You'd have to get to a 10 to give him a +4.
Oh, all right, okay. Mm.
So that would currently give me a +2 in total because I rolled a -2 and I only have 1 point in the craft up here.
Mm-hmm. I will throw in my points.
Let Gavin re-roll.
Mm-hmm.
I'll re-roll with eye for detail. We'll grab a +2. I'm thinking what would be better.
I'd go with the re-roll. I mean, you've got a good chance.
I can't do worse.
Yeah, you can't do worse.
Okay.
You could do worse.
Well, it doesn't count. You always take the best roll if you're spinning a chip.
Yeah. Let me clear.
So two it is. Okay, well, with a 2, it does look like it works on broadcast power. However, it does have a small battery pack that you find in the rear. That it couldn't have much more than a charge to last more than an hour, you think?
Hmm. Blah.
Oh, God.
these explosives, do you think that losing power or that the absence of power could also be a trigger for them? Because right now I'm afraid, dear lady, that the only option, it seems, is to disable the explosives because we cannot remove it from your person while they're still active.
But it still leaves the needle into a chest, which every way around is working.
Well, how thick was that needle?
Normal for the time, you know, so you'd still hate to be stuck with one today.
So we are talking needle. I was thinking that it could be a wire needle. Oh, ow. Oh, poor one. Oh, which case?
Should we get a bomb specialist from the police?
Look at Marlo.
Should we get maybe get someone, a professional, to assist you?
I shuffle through my cards and I find the one that says police bomb specialist on it.
I think of the other bomb squad that I had.
Now, first, let's make sure that we don't want any risk that this may be overheard. So,
right. The train starts moving again. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, still here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone just went quiet. It's like, what's going on?
Because this one is pretty much ready. Okay. We could probably use, if we're going to manage to call an outside specialist, we need to make sure that we aren't going to end up with another man in disguise like last time we thought the police were safe.
Yes, exactly.
And now, Marlo, I mean, if you had the tools, you could certainly make an attempt to defuse it.
Shall we make a call to Blair and have Blair deliver it herself?
No, we know how we can get there as well. Drina's place.
But is it going to go off, or is it if we leave here, or what?
No, she woke up in a warehouse. She came here to travel around to not be found. It wasn't like she was put on the train because that's where she had to go. She just came to the train so she can keep moving.
Yep.
Okay. Bert, how long till we get back to where the paddy wagon is?
Not for a while. Because you guys are taking basically the route around all of Metapole. This is like the roundabout. So.
But before we do that, we need to mask her signal broadcast. We need to change the broadcasting to some other place. Constantine could easily be tracking the signal itself. And thus, if it sees it move to one place and just stay there, he could be suspicious. Whereas he's quite happy to let her travel on the train without...
You could set up a device and we just leave it with the engineers in a locker.
Yes.
How
Yeah, even with the repair roll you made there for Gavin, the part that's transmitting is actually easy to get to. It's not really concealed. You can... Yeah.
Good. Well, the thing is, even if we remove that, that's probably going to set off the device. We want to do is set up our own signal and then mask that signal from the device itself so we can move without that signal from her being tracked.
Okay, so you have the phone, you have a...
I'm also not really the person to do the repair, but...
I look forlornly and go, Drina, where are you when we need you?
Cutscene where she's doing kid wrangling with a screaming one-year-old running around the house.
We do have two engineers and just through them. Perhaps one of them may be competent.
Yeah.
I look at him aghast.
Do you have a better plan?
We could all support Gavin.
Well, actually, I think...
Or we could also...
Well, unless it's some programming involved, but I think it's going to be more putting the equipment together more than programming it.
Yeah, there's no engine in the vest. It's all mechanical.
Yeah. Well, no, just set up a separate signal transmitter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could do that easily.
Yeah.
Then do it. Well, actually, we need to time it correctly because sending double signals may not be good.
That's
just me being paranoid.
Oh, you've got to time it perfectly so when the... It sends a pulse like once a minute. It sends a code out.
Yeah, once a minute it changes.
Yeah, so you have to time it so that it changes on the same frequency, on the same cycle of signal.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you could probably do that. We've got time. All we have is time.
Hmm.
So you start working on that.
I'm going to check what equipment they have actually in the cockpit area or the driver's compartment, just see what they have.
Ah, yes. Could take a chip.
Secondary engine.
Take a chip. They actually have a full mechanics bay there. Quite a few tools. Because they sometimes, the train loses compression and it stops and they've got to get out and do repairs like on the spot. So they carry quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
Right. Do they have a second engine?
A second engine?
As in a Babbage engine or engine?
Well, they've got the one that controls the train itself. They've got some parts for it, but they don't have a full second backup.
I don't suppose we can manage. How much? I'm going to talk to those gentlemen. How much of your engine is taken up with running your train?
Oh, very little. We got capacity to spare.
Could it be used to do other things?
Well, what do you have in mind? We keep our music on it ourselves.
I believe I'll let one of the technical gentlemen talk with you on this matter. I'm just here to forage out supplies, it seems. Gavin.
Marlow.
The one engineer still taking hits from his little liquor bottle.
Sorry, yes?
We I know if we have, separate, between all of
shush,
us...
Shush, Bishop, shush. If we separate the signaler from Marlene here, do you want to take it with you in hopes that Constantine will track it down to you?
Hell no. But I do want to lay a trap for him like that. I'm just thinking about the best way to do it.
Right. Well, first things first, let's set up this alternative signaling device.
Yeah.
So we can separate it from here.
Yes, I have a little bit of engineering.
This train's own engine. This train's own engine can be used, that way you don't have to sacrifice your own machine. And I'd say the train, unless you didn't exploit that, would make an ideal ambush location. You can find, but it means that at least he won't shoot you. From his preferred long range.
That didn't come through entirely clearly there.
It's really muddy.
I understood,
yeah, the train works as a nice location for a trap.
Yeah, but
we don't know when he's coming.
We don't want to do that because we don't want him to lead Constantine to the train full of innocent civilians and kill them all.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Get them off if he's just hunting a woman.
What about an abandoned building or house, apartment?
Which is why we need to build the signaling as a separate device from everything that we can move around ourselves.
Yeah. Let's take some spare parts and get to work. I have some engineering skill.
Yeah.
I know how this junk works.
I know how to do programming. The repair side of it, I have a tiny, tiny amount of knowledge on.
I'm fairly decent with engineering type projects, so putting it together, I can do it.
music in this podcast was provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his great music can be found at incompetech.com. Our game's website, along with links to the show notes, public forums, and game information, can be found at obsidianportal.com. Do a search there for Steam, Steal, and Murder to find us. At the end of this podcast are promotional clips for other podcasts that I found to be inspirational and hope you will as well.
There. After 5 long years, my latest invention is complete. Surely it will revolutionize personal transportation for decades to come. Hey, who let you in here? Get away from there! You stupid simian sociopath! Don't touch that! Monkeys took my jetpack!
Monkeys took my jetpack. At mtmjetpack.com.
And you should check your email. I sent you those figures from Tuesday.
Ah, good, thanks.
What is that?
What?
Hanging next to your calendar.
It's a trilobite.
A what?
Trilobite. They lived all over the Earth 290 million years ago. You got a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with that. What's the thing next to it? That's
a Celtic emblem. Next to that is a bust of Shakespeare. Down below that, some runes. Across the way on the other side, there's a dragon head. There's, Egyptian scarab. A couple of different things.
Yeah. Skull? Celtic cross? Yin and yang? Where did you get these? What are they?
They're solid symbols.
Solid symbols? Well, I got the solid part. Yeah, the little miniature sculptures. But where'd you get them?
Bought them online. www.solidsymbols.com.
Why do they all look like they're 1,000 years old or something, or like some archaeologist dug them up?
I don't know. I guess it's because they represent really, really old ideas.
Old ideas?
Yeah. Ideas that were around a long time before you, me, this company, and are going to be around a long time after.
And besides, that's the style he chose. He? Who he?
The artist. One guy. One guy makes all these. Right here in the U.S.
And you can afford to buy art from an American artist?
Dude, they're $10 a piece. You spent more than that on lunch.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. Louise has got a couple, too. And I got some hanging at home.
So what are they for?
What do you mean, what are they for? They give me something else to look at besides spreadsheets. They remind me to think about things that are old and important.
Yeah, well, you know, when most people want to put something up in their cubicle, they usually put up a postcard or a cartoon strip.
Yeah, well, there's a big difference about the art in this cubicle.
Yeah, what's that?
It's interesting enough for somebody to be standing here talking to me about the art in this cubicle. And you can put that dragon head right back where you found it, thank you.
Oh, sorry. It just fits so nicely in my hand.
Yeah, well, toddle back off to your desk. www.solidsymbols.com.
Subtle hint. Was that a subtle hint?
You're brilliant.
You're weird.
Thank you very much.